Hey everyone, welcome back. So we watched off 168. I'm Jeremy. Joining me as always is Shahid. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Just bouncing back from this Super Bowl weekend illness and enjoying a little time before we head off to work.
Yeah, so that Super Bowl, huh?
Ugh, that thing was dull as damn dishwater. It's funny, people complained about last year saying, where's the defense? This ain't the football my daddy grew up on. I'm like, I hope you people are happy, because this thing is just, that's one of the worst Super Bowls I've ever seen. Like, that thing was just boring up until the fourth quarter. And it wasn't like, you know, boring because it was like a good low scoring game. It was just bad.
Yes. Well, what was the Brady gets intercepted on the first drive and you're like, oh, here it comes.
His first pass.
Yeah, so here it comes. No, it wasn't his first.
Yes, it was. It was the first.
That was really?
Yeah, because they start off with like a bunch of runs. The first time he threw the ball was an interception.
Wow. Well, that's where you thought, all right, this is how it's going to go. You know, finally the age is going to catch up to him. Nah. The Rams defense couldn't figure out how to cover Julian Edelman.
I mean, I don't even blame the defense. They only gave up 13 points. Normally, that should be enough.
Yeah.
You know, offense. In a Super Bowl. Yeah, but it was kind of like, you know, one, Julian Edelman getting open over and over again was just annoying, but, you know, you were about Gronkowski and everything else. But no, the Rams offense did not show up at all. It was just like Jared Goff was out there looking like a chump.
Well, then they go down there and they you know, got the field goal. What was the final score? 10-3, right?
13-3.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because they kicked that nonsense at the end. Which I was totally confused why you kick a field goal at the end. You have 1 inch to get.
Yeah, I guess, like, they figured, like, you know, let's not give them any hope. We get this, you know, we get the field goal. They need two scores.
Yeah.
So it's like we don't get to, because, like, you know, it's just 1 inch. We don't get this inch. The Rams can, you know, tie or maybe win with a 2-point conversion. So it's like, let's take away that slight chance. So, you know, that part I don't mind too much. That game was just boring.
And yeah, because there was no great the highlight defensively would be when there was a fumble that went out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my god, something's finally happening. Nah, it just rolls out of bounds harmlessly.
Or, you know, you could tell the game was going a certain way. Jim Nance was getting excited about a punt. Somehow broke the Super Bowl record.
It rolled too. It was like, all right, I understand. By definition, it rolled or it went 60 whatever yards, all right? But I always think, shouldn't it be in the air? And not because the guy, like, misjudged it and ran away from the ball when he shouldn't have. But whatever, record's a record. So it's something that he can tell people when he gets cut next year when he kicks to the wrong guy. But, yeah, there was another part in that game where Jim Nance got excited. The Rams had two positive yardage plays in a row. And he goes, well, the Rams are getting cooking now. And I went, what game are you watching? And I think the next play was incomplete pass or something. And then they punted three plays later. I'm like, yeah, all right, just stop trying to tell us it was good. And, boy, could they have used a surprise in that halftime concert of the year or whatever. I don't know who Travis Scott is. I was just
he's a rapper who has, like, you know, he's on tour right now. He had a number one album this year, so he's known. And he dates which one? Kendall, Kylie Jenner, the one that Ben Simmons doesn't date. So he dates one of the Kardashians,
okay,
and they have a child together. He's an Atlanta rapper. He's on tour, so got some stuff out. And no, you got to keep in mind, a lot of people told them no because the whole Kaepernick thing. Like, they asked other people, and they're like, "Nah, that's all right." And then people got annoyed saying, "Maroon 5 in Atlanta, you couldn't get Outkast. You only get one half. You couldn't get anybody else, like Atlanta of all places." Hey, you know how bad it is? I saw white people on Twitter making fun of Maroon 5 talking about, you know how hard it is to find a white drum line in Atlanta?
Okay. I didn't pick up on that until later because I've never been to one. I always wanted to go to one of those drum line battles because that shit looks fun. Like, they're into it. They know what they're doing. There's some, like, theatrics to it, whatever else. And I saw those people play. I'm going, something's wrong here. And then later on, I went, oh my God. Yeah.
It's Atlanta. I could, like, you have to work hard to not find a black drum line in Atlanta, Georgia.
There's probably 14 of them outside the stadium right now.
Yeah, like, that takes effort. Still. So, no. I had that on mute, and I'm looking up, and I'm seeing certain things, and I'm seeing Adam take his shirt off, and I'm like, yeah, I'm glad I didn't miss anything.
I immediately started yelling, fuck you, at the TV when he took his shirt off. Like, douche.
Yeah. No, I was busy watching Halftime Heat, and I'm... Yes. I'm glad. It's funny, like, it's been 20 years since they've done it.
Yeah.
And you think, like, why did it take so long to do it again? Especially now with the network, where it's like, you know, you got the network. It's easy. You go online, pop it in. NXT is perfect for that because, you know, that's the type of crowd that would do that anyway. And it's funny where they put a whole lot in about, what, 15 minutes?
Man, they were all over the place in that. I mean, they gave you entrances, although they did cut Adam Cole short, which, you know, if you're into doing the Adam Cole baby and the boom and all that, you didn't get it. But other than that, everyone got their full entrance, including all their signature spots. I mean, that was crazy for I think, roughly, yeah, 15 minutes.
Yeah. Like, anyone who hadn't watched wrestling or, like, you know, it's funny where I was just wondering where the crowd would be because it's kind of like it's a online thing because, like, you know, you can watch on the network or YouTube and stuff. Like, plenty of people watch it, apparently. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, kind of like, you know, if you aren't in the WWE, I don't think you would, like, you know, go on Facebook and watch that. That seems like that's more like a fan thing unless you're somewhere and you're watching it. You got friends over there. Like, what are you watching? And they watching it in front of, like, a tablet or something like that. So,
yeah. And my first thought was, wow, it was fun. I mean, it was good, of course. I mean, look at the six guys in the ring. Of course it was going to be good. Adam Cole pulling off that top rope jumping pile driver, which I haven't seen him do in a long time. That was crazy. I couldn't believe they let him do that.
Yeah, I think it was kind of like, let's show all our, you know, we might get a whole bunch of views. Because, you know, this definitely got a lot of attention as far as, like, that circle's like, we gonna get 12 minutes. Let's show everybody what NXT is about. And it says a lot about the, you know, the six people they chose. Like, the six people, they kind of, like, are, like, the top of the food chain as far as NXT goes.
Yeah, and three of them, I'd love to say Ciampa, Cole and Gargano could do something on the main roster, but...
When they mentioned their weights, it was like, one, I thought they were lying. Because I didn't think Gargano and Ciampa weighed that much. Sue was like, they around the same size as, like, AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan and bigger than Finn Balor. I'm like, it ain't, it's funny where I used to think about that, but I'm like, they not that much smaller than a lot of people that's in WWE now. Like, they'll look small next to Bobby Lashley, but yeah, most people look small. Yeah. But most people look small next to Bobby Lashley. Like, Adam Cole is the one that kind of stands out. Because he just seems, like, super, super small.
Yes.
You know, just because I think, like, his build, like, he's a regular-sized human. Just looks, like, small as be, like, a wrestler or a fighter. But so what? We just saw Finn Balor. It's funny where, I don't know if you guys talked about it. You might have talked about on Stunt Randy, the whole intergender thing. People saying, like, I don't know how realistic it'd be. And I was like, it's a smaller difference size-wise between Charlotte Flair and Dolph Ziggler than Finn Balor and Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm. And we just saw Finn Balor and Brock Lesnar at, you know, at the Royal Rumble as a title match. So, nah, like, you can work around that.
Yeah, it's also, I mean, it's not going to be everybody, obviously. But, like, someone like Nia Jax, Tamina, for that matter. You know, because did you see, yeah, you watched All In, right? Well, you know, they had the over-the-budget Battle Royal, and they had Jordan Grace and Brian Cage going at it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very believable. Like, yeah, because, you know,
he's big, but he's big, but she's not small. So she looked like she could beat up a lot of guys. Like, you can so the size thing, I don't worry about that too much. You know, like, it was definitely entertaining, and I was watching that way more than the halftime show, and I'm just like, and I'm just thinking, like, you know, they could do this more often if they want to. Like, and it doesn't necessarily have to be like NXT. I don't know how you would do, like, the It's funny because I was wondering how they're going to do, or if our fans going to be there. Because I remember the halftime Heat one, it was just like, you know, it was already taped. And it was basically like the wrestlers and the refs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and like an empty arena. And like an empty arena. And I was wondering, like, are they going to do it that way? Are they going to have fans there? Like, it felt like an old TBS, like, you know, NWA thing they used to show. Like a studio audience, like a couple hundred people, like small, intimate, and fun. And it was fun.
Yeah, and what I took away from it, and especially over this weekend, I don't know, did you get a chance to watch Worlds Collide at all?
Yeah, okay. I watched part of it when it was on, like, YouTube, because the beginning wasn't on the network, just right. The end part.
Well, I'm watching that, and the matches were all really good, and I haven't really been on the net too much to see, like, people's reactions, which we'll get into reactions later. So I don't know, like, how it went over with people, but if you put some of those matches on a takeover, people are raving about them. Mm-hmm. But since they were at, like, you know, wherever that was, I know it was over Royal Rumble weekend, but not sure, like, where.
Seemed like it was like an access or something. Yeah, so, a lot of the, like, the way it was. No, it's always about, like, time and location where matches mean more based on who's seeing it or where it is. Yeah. You know, like, if you see, like, some small, like, the Mae Young Classic, we talk about that, like, you know, if that Sadamura-Mercedes Martinez match is the final match, more people remember that than it'd be, like, a second-round match. Because that was, like, one of the best matches in the tournament, and probably the first or second-best women's match they ever had. And it's, like, one of those things where you don't even remember, because, like, oh, it's a second-round thing. Then it comes up best of, and you remember watching the match, it's like, oh. Yeah, so a lot of the times like that, like, matches fall in the cracks. Like, if it's a TV match, like on a Raw, or like some random NXT, you know, it seems like it's just happening in a vacuum.
Yes, exactly. And that's kind of what, well, Halftime Heat, I guess, got a better, bigger audience because they put it on all the different platforms. And then the Worlds Collide was only on the network outside of the first round, which was on, I think, just YouTube, I think. But You see that stuff, and it's just straight wrestling. You know, not a whole lot of story stuff. No interference, straight up. Two guys go in, one guy leaves, all that sort of business, right? And then you have Halftime Heat, where they're going all out for 15 minutes. That was almost nonstop action. And I know it's easier when there's six guys, but still. I mean, like you said, they packed everything they could in there. And now we're going to come to Monday night tonight. And for the people, say they won some people over, like, oh, what is this? I'll check out Raw again. Which is, you know, I'm guessing is probably the number one object of having these things, especially the Halftime Heat. And then they're going to turn on and see a bunch of people standing around talking. And so I don't know if it's going to help in the long run if they're going to turn on and go, what's this plotting nonsense? You know?
But at the same time, though, it's kind of like, you know, you might turn in there. It's like, oh, who's this Becky Lynch person I heard about?
That's who I hope they start the show with.
Oh, you know, Ronda Rousey, like Brock Lesnar. It's kind of like, you know, they have the people might turn in like, you know, you may not know WWE. You've heard of some of the people. You've heard of Ronda Rousey before. You've definitely heard of Brock Lesnar before. It's the reason why they keep getting the money they're getting. It's not just because, you know, we're nice. We like giving money away. So it's kind of like, you know, get that viewpoint. And then hope something catches your eye. And then it's kind of like, you know, like we've talked about, like, you know, wrestling's different because it's actual competition now. Mm-hmm. You know, like AJ Styles is supposedly, you know, even though he say he hasn't resigned, supposedly resigned. Dean Ambrose is leaving. And, you know, like it's people have options to make more money. So now you got to kind of put more work in to, like, get eyeballs and stuff. It's not like WWE has to worry about going out of business. They just have to worry about we have to be in our P's and Q's and put work in. And it's just a funny thing where they're about to get a whole bunch of money, and but they can't be complacent anymore.
Yeah.
And normally it doesn't work that way. It's like once you get the money, it's like you can chill and relax. And now it's like, oh, we got to do what we need to do to keep our people happy.
Yeah. So, rumor is, I don't know if any of this is true, but anybody who's got a deal that expires in the next 2 or 3 years, supposedly they pull them all into a room and we're trying to tell people, if you re-sign now, blah, 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 like extra money and all this stuff. So they're not even waiting for people's stuff to come
out.
Yeah.
Like I heard that with like indie people say, whatever deal you get, we'll give you double.
God, I mean, on the spot too. I'm like, God damn.
Like that's what happened when you got, that's why competition like helps, because like you have more options. And it's like, I'm all about wrestlers making more money.
Yep.
All about it. And it says a lot to kind of like, I'm sure they talked about it, I won't talk about too much, the fact that somebody like is the big totem pole Dean Ambrose just bouncing out.
Okay. So I'm not trying to be one of those guys, but even with the AJ Styles, like with the AJ Styles thing about him saying no, he hasn't signed, I'm starting to wonder if maybe they're not trying to pull one on us. I don't think they are.
No, I think what happened was the story got out, and they didn't think they could, you know, put on the wraps. So it's like one of those, we'll get ahead of it. Because keep in mind, under normal circumstance, they don't talk about stuff like this. But normally, you don't really hear about people. You don't hear about them leaving, like, months out. You hear about, you know, a couple weeks out, mm-hmm. they didn't resign, and then something happened. Not, like, 3 months.
Yeah. And, well, but I remember, like, remember Dean Ambrose's original thing was supposed to be his John Moxley, and he was doing all that stuff with Mick Foley. The years ago, and then they pulled it. So I'm wondering if this is like another attempt at trying to do that.
I think people are just throwing off the fact that WWE acknowledged it and was real nice about it. And
that's,
I always say,
that's the big part. Is they were nice
and
about it.
Yeah, it's like, one, they don't need to burn bridges. It doesn't seem like it was one of those, you know, harsh things. Two, his wife still works there. Like, that's the big thing. Like, you know, his wife is there and one of the commentaries on Raw. So, and a lot of people like his wife. A lot of people like him. So they don't have any reason to be this whole, we going to do all this stuff and burn. Like, for what? You know, let him do his thing. He can always come back. People come back all the time. And it'll be like, you know, you don't, there's no reason for them to be all, I mean, it's still WWE, so they won't be petty. They don't have any reason to be petty in this case. And it's kind of like, I think they might have learned their lesson as far as high and stuff. Because remember the big one was like Mania 20 when everybody found out, like, you know, Brock was leaving.
And it was
like, they already knew Goldberg was leaving, but it's like, you know, we know they're leaving. And it basically like ruined the match because you had two people that are both leaving and nobody was like, that should have been a big deal and nobody cared. So it's kind of like, you know, if the story hadn't came out, maybe it's like, you know, it's something you kind of play off. It's out. And enough people knew that there's like, you know, fans are smart. All it takes is a few people start chanting stuff, and then it becomes a thing. And then it's like, oh, now what we gotta do? Lie? Like, you only can lie. You can only lie so much about certain things. You know, it's better to handle it this way. It says a lot because they normally don't handle it this way. So I don't know if that's a sign of growth, a unique situation, because it's like Dean Ambrose. They like him. They like his wife, or just the fact where, you know, like they say, he said money wasn't a thing. He made a lot of money anyway. He lives that type of lifestyle where he doesn't have to spend money. I mean, that helps. CM Punk was in the same boat where it's like, you know, if you ain't beholden to money, once you make enough, it's like, I do what I want to do.
Yeah, and he's already said he's not done wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
That he's going to wrestle somewhere else. I'm like, oh boy, here we go.
Yeah.
It'd be hilarious if he went back to like Combat Zone Wrestling or something. Just totally screw with everybody. I don't think Renee's gonna let him do that. But.
Yeah, I'm sure AEW has a big check with a whole bunch of zeros. Because if you gonna throw a lot of money at somebody, that's the person you throw a lot of money at.
Absolutely, yeah. Especially the matches they could have, and this is where I always get conflicted on stuff. Like, you know, they've got the AEW's got their ticket on sale thing Thursday, and that's when Omega's supposed to show up and, you know, officially sign with them. And I'm like, I mean, good for him, good for them, and I'm going to watch the matches, you know. But I'm looking at, like, Omega in WWE right now. He's still, like, at top of his game. And I'm going to say Sting's name, but obviously it's not going to be the same. Because Sting was, what, 50-something years old when he got to WWE? I don't want, if it ever comes to it, with Omega coming to WWE and having lost that step, like, I'd rather see him in there now. Against like Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, Rollins, all those guys that are there now. But, you know, obviously his choice. But as the fan in me, I'm like, no, go to WWE right now. And yeah, I understand the big problem is, well, WWE will screw it up. I think they're smart enough not to. And we don't have a camera on my face, but I was like wincing when I said it, like, I wouldn't think they are. But anyways, but yeah, but no, Ambrose against Rollins, or if he goes to AEW, Ambrose against Omega, Jericho again, those were always good. So yeah.
No, Ambrose versus Pentagon Jr. So
and Phoenix as well. So yeah,
all these dream matches, like, and all these things, and I think the big thing will be like TV, like, you know, because it's like it's rumors about that, you know, them popping up on TBS, which would, you know, be precedent as far as that goes. You know, you gotta, as much as like streaming is the thing and everything like that, you still need TV.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. So, and TBS and would be cool because I don't know any shows that are on TBS. So, I'd actually watch the station again.
A bunch of Tyler Perry stuff, a bunch of old comedies. Was that show Leverage? No, I'm trying to think what shows come on TBS, what shows come on TNT.
No, TBS is the comedy station. So, I don't think Leverage wouldn't be on there. That'd be TNT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I remember what was that?
Oh,
Franco and Bash. And who was the one with the women?
I have no clue.
Like, it was a copper forensic person. I can't remember
that name. Oh, Aesos and Rizzo or something?
Rizzoli and Isle. Yeah.
See, I got this. Not bad. So, yeah. So, yeah. Which,
yeah, it's a show that we would both watch because that tells you all the fact. I just named three TNT shows trying to figure out a TBS show.
One's that Samantha Bee show that everyone tries to tell you is funny.
Full Frontal. Well, that's you know, you don't like, we know you don't like women comedians anyway, so that's a graphic. You don't think women are
funny. You say that, and I go, all right. And then I start looking. I'm like, well, Amy Schumer used to be funny. And then she just stopped doing jokes. And I'm trying to think of some, and no one's really coming to, like, the ones I like, no one's ever heard of. So, you know. But popular ones, no, I couldn't name you anybody. Anyways, before we go to the road of negativity, let's talk some trailers. So, we talked about John Wick last show. Is the big one Fast and the Furious? I know Avengers had their little 30-second thing that did nothing but whet your appetite.
It's funny, like, the Avengers one popped up, and, like, imagine you watch the game, they did the coin toss, you go get some food, and then you come back, and you're like, what'd I miss? Because that's the first commercial they played after the coin toss with the Avengers one. And I'm looking up, I'm like, oh, this was, it's funny we talked about what stuff we would see and we guessed that, but we wasn't thinking, like, when they would show it, and they showed it from Jump Street. And it was only like 30 seconds. Yep. And it's kind of like, you know, let's say, like, Marvel's version of The Leftovers.
Yes,
like, basically. How would you handle, like, you know, it was like doom and gloom, people trying to get over stuff, see a quick clip of Iron Man and Nebula working together. You know, Black Widow shooting, you know, Captain America has a shield. Like, it's just, you get quick clips, like, people who's alive, you only see, like, maybe six of them, seven of them, and you don't know any plot, you don't know any details, you just know who's there, and that's it. And it's kind of like, it's one of those movies where they don't really need to tell you anything.
Right.
Because they know people are going to go see it anyway, they just need to give you enough stuff, like, what's your appetite?
Yeah, and it's like, why blow money on advertising? I mean, I know they're going to anyways, but why bother when you can just save it? Is there anybody, like, all right, I know there's going to be someone out there, but have you talked to anybody who didn't like Infinity War? Or wasn't, like, at the end, oh my God.
So, it's, like, the people, it's funny, the people who didn't like us still going to see this one anyway, because, you know, the whole thing, don't look at the comment section. I was just laughing because I saw the comment section for this, and it was, like, six people said like 60 comments talking about, I hope they talk about how the world would bounce back, because think about, you know, how many nuclear power plants would go offline and the famine and stuff, and it would go back to 1920s level. Doesn't seem realistic. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, y'all need to stop using real world applications to, like, Marvel Earth. I'm like, this is the same place where Infinity Stones exist.
Yeah.
Like, Wakanda, last time I, you know, Wakanda's not a real thing, but they exist. Repulsor technology, nanotechnology. I'm like, a universe that has Iron Man and SHIELD helicarriers in it, I think we'll be able to, like, have different rules. And, like, if we had half our population going into tomorrow, we're having the gut fauna. Wouldn't that mess up with the justice system? I'm like, you nerds went way too deep down the rabbit hole with this without kind of thinking like, yeah, I've got a magic alien with a space axe.
Yeah, in a fake eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking to a raccoon with a gun. And y'all told me, I'm sure plenty of planes fell when people died. I doubt Marvel can go too deep in it because they don't want people to be too depressed. Like, they already depressed at the ending of Infinity War. You don't want to spend the first hour and a half shame what happened to Fukushima again.
There's a lot of people that demand realism in these in your science fiction movies now, which is the weirdest thing to me. And we're definitely going to get to that in a second. But
yeah, it's not just realism. It's they use our realism to apply to that world. And I'm like, realism is fine because you want stuff to make sense, but you can't use checker rules for chess.
Right. Yeah.
Like, checker rules work for checkers, chess rules work for chess. Like, if you're using the logic in their Marvel Universe strikes, that's one thing. But I'm like, if you use real world logic with them, the world would have been bankrupt after the Avengers. You had an alien invasion that destroyed most of New York. And it's like, yes, they just bounce back like it's no big thing. If that happened now, you imagine how bad that was. Not like, yeah, so you can't. And I always try to avoid doing that. Like, because the moment you try to use real world applications to science fiction in a place where you have science fiction and magic, it just falls apart. Like, it just does. Like, just enjoy the movie for what it is, or don't enjoy the movie for what it is. Don't try to apply a different set of rules to try to enjoy the movie. You're just going to be disappointed.
Yeah. Well, I don't mind movies that play around with stuff, as long as they stick to what they do. And one of my examples is Frequency. Is that what it was called? With Jim Caviezel and, oh no, basically he goes back in the past and things change. And they, based on this movie, they said if something happens in the past, the present is automatically changed. There's no Thanos dust or whatever. Well, at the end of the movie, to increase the drama, they immediately get rid of the rules. So things are happening in the past, and in the present, it's not happening. And I'm watching this going, you just totally took me out of this movie. Because none of this should be happening right now. To where in Avengers and that sort of stuff, you're allowed to play. Like, if all of a sudden Earth has no gravity in one scene and then goes back and it's back again. You're like, wait, what's going on? Explain something. But no, I learned my lesson on the next preview we're going to talk about, because I foolishly thought everybody would love it. My mistake. Mm-hmm. But I'm guessing people were pretty happy with the Avengers one. And frankly, I don't give a shit what everyone has to say about stuff. And I still think it's weird. Well, I like the fact that they only advertised it for 30 seconds. And that was it. And you never got another one. And then you got Captain Marvel a little bit later. Because like we were talking before, you got to be careful that you're not going to overshadow this. And we already, we discussed it. It's going to make its money anyways.
Yeah, but I think it's the same thing what happened. Because keep in mind, we worry about the overshadowing thing. They just did this last year, Black Panther and Avengers, and it's kind of we were wondering, is it too much too soon? And it didn't affect either one of the movies. It was almost kind of they both, Black Panther was just so awesome that people was worried about Infinity War. People were worried more about Infinity War than vice versa. And Infinity War being great kind of helped out. Keep in mind, Infinity War made more global. Black Panther made more domestic. I think if any movie got affected from that, it was Ant-Man and the Wasp coming out after those two. Because this just seems a Pop-Tart. And we just had a Thanksgiving dinner followed by a Christmas dinner. And I think with this one, it's I think people still, the Captain Marvel thing is still just weird. Because it seemed like it's a lot of excitement depending on if you're not online.
Wait, as far as
that goes. And I think the funny thing is, you got Captain Marvel coming out, you had the Avengers, and then you have Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious about the whole Spider-Man thing, because it's on one hand, Ant-Man and the Wasp will be Iron Man 3. where Iron Man 3 got that big boost being the first movie that came out after the Avengers, and you're wondering, like, you know, how will things go after that? And it'd be a big, you know, how will things be after, you know, Endgame would be a big deal. So I wonder how they handle that. So,
well, it's funny, when I at the party we're at, to not the get together, I went to party, but one of my friends is he's really into the Marvel stuff. So when the preview came on, one friend, Jess, was playing with their dog and, like, making a bunch of noise doing it. And you could see him, like getting fidgety, like, stop talking, whatever else. So finally I had to go, hey, Jess, shut up. Huh? What? Why are you telling me to shut up? I'm like, well, that didn't work. He had to rewind it. Well, he rewound it to the coin toss. So we had to sit through the coin toss all over again and go through it. And then we watched it again, and she started talking again. And I, Elise finally looks at her and is like, what are you doing? She's like, what? Like, totally oblivious. So we watch it again. All right, cool. Saw it again. He pulls out his phone and starts watching it again. I'm like, dude, it was 30 seconds. It showed us nothing. There's no Easter eggs or anything. I was like, what are you doing? So then they showed Captain Marvel later, and I was like, oh, yeah, it looks pretty good. I already got my tickets for that one. And he goes, you already got your tickets? I'm like, yeah. Well, how'd you do that? I'm like, Fandango? They put them on sale already. He's like, oh, my God. So I take for granted the fact that, like, not that I know something, but that I just automatically assume everybody else knows something. Like, yeah, you can get tickets for this already. And I was like, yeah, the 8 o'clock show sold out, so you got to get the 10 o'clock ones. So,
yeah. You be careful about what you think people know just because you know it.
No shit, man. And that leads us into, oh, I could not believe this preview. And that one they showed at the Super Bowl was not good. It took all the fun out of it.
I mean, well, you can't have the curse. You had to keep it, like, G-rated. Because the first one definitely was not, so.
No, it wasn't.
You can't have people, like, cursing, putting fingers up and everything like that. So, I mean, it's funny thinking about where Fast and Furious started. Like, you know, they were still in, like, DVD players and, you know, Dreamcast. I don't know if Xbox was out yet.
Yeah, I don't know.
They might have been, like, Dreamcast and, like, HD DVD players and stuff, and that was considered a big deal. And now they're fighting, like, the Black Terminator.
I said Black Superman, except for the fact he can't fly.
Yeah.
He's super strong, like, and he can't be
bulletproof.
So.
Like, you know, when The Rock was on Twitter, like, we're going to have the best villain they've seen. We want to rise. I'm like, yeah, you know, he figures hyperbole. When are we going to learn our lesson? Like, when this man says something, like, he doesn't say this to say, he wants to prove it. And you see there, it's like, okay, you see Idris Elba's like, I'm the next evolution of human evolution. And I'm like, I know we talk about Fast and Furious being super, like, a superhero movie. Yeah, they superhero, like, this superhero movie stuff now. Like, it's way past me just driving fast. Or we throwing tanks at people. It's like, yeah, I'm fighting somebody that's bulletproof and super strong. And, like, regular Earth. It is not like this is the Earth where, you know, the Avengers or Earth with Batman. This is still regular Earth, like regular army stuff.
Yeah, which they show as, I guess, Rock's driving that truck, just spinning it, taking cars out.
Mm-hmm.
This thing had something for everybody. I mean, wow, what an old man.
Yeah, Jason. Yeah, but, Jason Statham's suit, chapping somebody in the neck with a champagne bottle.
Yeah, and then. So somebody during we were at the thing last night, someone goes, are they flying coach in the movie? And I'm like, yes. He just said they're trying to be stealthy. So you got to put them in coach. You can't put them in first class. It's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Yeah, but like, I mean, he says, kind of like, you know, how he going to be like The Rock. Like The Rock, how's he going to, like, you know, hide in sight? As Jason Statham honestly said, like, yeah, you know, yeah, this, we're gonna fly coast, nobody gonna notice this big 6'4" Black Samoan dude. Word. They gonna think he plays, like, I guess, like, maybe he's playing football, but why is he in coach? But anyway, like,
yeah.
One, it's funny how they, you know, they contrast the whole class thing. Like, The Rock's rough and tumble, I drink beer, I drive trucks and wear tank tops, and Jason, and it's funny, you don't even think about it until you look at the other movies. Like, yeah, even when Jason Statham was fighting him, he showed up in Dubai with a suit on.
Mm-hmm.
He had a machine gun, but he was never looking like a slouch. Like, he didn't show up in, like, you know, ripped jeans and a t-shirt. He always was, like, dressed to the nines and all proper and everything like that. And I like how they playing, like, how they're playing into that. But of course, we talk about all that stuff. You see the end. You see Idris Elba running down a building with a woman on his shoulders. Vertically, no strings, yes. No rope, just running straight down like it's no big thing. And you know, The Rock pretends that he's gonna jump out first. He grabs rope, and then he's in free fall, fighting in midair. Jason Statham's on the elevator in free fall, just watching this madness go on. And I'm like, yeah, this is where we got to.
Yeah,
with Fast and Furious.
It's just, well, okay, it's from the Fast and Furious universe. But they made it pretty obvious. It's just like Star Wars, how it's got their own stories now. And I think it's a smart move. Especially, yeah. You know, I know that Tyrese Gibson had a problem with this, but apparently they've worked that out, because he's apparently a raging alcoholic. Allegedly, I'm going to say, just to make sure. But that was part of the problem.
Yeah, like, and here's the thing, you got to understand, though. People had issues with The Rock. Look at the people who had issues with The Rock. Like, it was basically Tyrese and Vin Diesel. Like, Tyrese ain't the most reliable source. And Vin Diesel, like, yeah, he's, I got my huge ego. I want someone stepping on my huge ego thing. And I find it funny that they already say he's not going to, you know, The Rock's not going to be in Fast 9 because of scheduling conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it probably makes sense considering, like, you know, he probably filmed, like, The Rock's always filming something. So,
sure. Yeah, that's very true. So,
yeah, and it's like, you know, he might be filming, like, the sequel to Jumanji. It's something that he's filming that's around that time, because they pushed it back from to 2020 because of this movie coming out. And to be honest, it's like, if you got him doing this, you don't really need The Rock.
No, I think that actually is going to help the franchise thin them down a little bit.
Yeah,
like, there's a lot of people in that thing, man.
Yeah, have people breathe. It was like, you know, although it's like a movie where you have Vin Diesel and no Rock and no Paul Walker, then it's definitely gonna be like the Vin Diesel show. Because before, he always had somebody like kind of bounce him out, whether it was like Paul Walker in the first one and the fourth one, or if it was like The Rock in the ones after that. Like, this one is gonna be like, you know, Vin Diesel and his friends. And I mean, Fast and Furious works, but it's like, it works because it's an ensemble thing led by him, not because it's just a Vin Diesel show. If I want that, I can just watch Triple X.
I had a ball last night describing to people how great that last Triple X movie was, just because of the idiocy involved in it. And I was like, so here's how it works. In the beginning of the movie, he's on a cell phone tower. He steals something from it for some reason. And then he skis down the side of it, takes a skateboard down the side of a mountain, finds a girl, fucks her, and gives her the skateboard as a parting gift. All of this takes place in the first 10 minutes of this movie. If I don't have you hooked by then, the rest of the movie's not going to do anything for you. So they're like, all right, we'll watch. I'm like, I know you will. That's they've been playing that lately, and it doesn't get any... not better. It's still the same dumb shit I watched, and I don't care. I thought that movie's still fun. Anyways.
Look, this is the same thing with this movie. Like, it's a movie that knows it's a movie, and it's having fun with the fact. It was like Tango and Cash on steroids. It's basically what this is.
Yes. Yeah.
No, that's, you know, let's have a whole bunch of good actors. Let's have a great action director. Let's have a whole bunch of money, and let's have fun. We don't, it's real simple. Like, if it wasn't for the Fast and Furious franchise, we wouldn't get these type of movies anymore.
No.
Like, between Fast and Furious, like, Mission Impossible, because everything else, like, comic books are bust. Or if it's, like, action, it gotta be super serious, like, grim action. Like,
yes.
Action used to be fun. That's the thing. People always get annoyed with them all, oh, it's so dumb and it's fun. Like, no, it's just fun. Mm-hmm. Silly's not dumb. Silly is silly. Like, this whole, you know, of course, running down a building isn't, you know, doesn't fly in the face of physics. Neither is being Batman. But I never heard anybody call Batman silly. Like, you know, The Dark Knight was a man, blah, 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 masterpiece, things like that. I'm like, yes. And then she got nominated for Academy Award. It's still Batman. The whole concept of Batman is just goofy as hell if you look at it for more than 4 seconds. But I've never heard anyone call it, like, dumb fun. But mm-hmm. Fast and Furious, that whole, oh, they're driving such and such. They're fighting a submarine on ice. Or, like, Aquaman, they had a silly stuff. I'm like, Wonder Woman, she's just running down a trench by herself. Yeah. And it's not, you know, it's like, yeah, it looks cool because, one, it's a woman doing it, and, two, no one would call World War One silly. But I'm like, she's out there in a full-ass Wonder Woman costume, and everybody else is, like, in dirty-ass green uniform, and she got, like, a tear on the head with a shield and a sword fighting people with like, guns and rocket launchers. Don't that seem stupid? Like, oh. That don't seem like, you know, but it's like, if it's the movie... It's entertaining as hell in the movie, so you never, like, roll your eyes and think, like, this doesn't seem like it makes any sense. Like, no. So I always bristle at this whole you got to defend yourself if you like Fast and Furious thing. Because even people like it to the, you know, sometimes they don't admit liking it. I love Fast and Furious movies, and I never call them dumb.
Okay.
Triple X is dumb.
Yeah. Now, I'm glad you said that about Fast and Furious, because I was so jacked up about this preview. I was like... This has got to be going over so well. And I'm going to point this real fast. I'd say 90% of the comments were positive. All right? Mm-hmm. This is on Rock's Instagram page, too. This is on his Instagram feed that people are saying this stuff. And I'm like, this is a guy you love. If you're following him, what are you doing? Like, and I'm guessing most of these people either just unfollowed after or something. Anyways, one of the criticisms, of course, there were people like, where's Roman? Where's Vin Diesel? I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. They're just doing the troll stuff. Then the other one I would read consistently was, you've taken the soul out of Fast and the Furious. There's no heart anymore. Fast and the Furious, and I kid you not, a lot of people said this, Fast and the Furious is about family. It's about, I'm going, my God. So
that worked. That whole sport, that whole WWE universe sports entertainment thing worked.
but I'm sitting there going, really? So this is totally not grounded anymore? Like when they stole a whole safe and basically wrecked Rio with it? That was okay? Or okay. The one where they're driving underground from Mexico and back all the time? Like, just stop.
Here's the only comment I would have to defend that. And it's not the whole family thing. The comment I hear, and we've talked about, is like the whole, it's real jarring, and it's still jarring this time to see all, you know, Shaw all buddy-buddy with Hobbs, considering like Shaw tried to murder all of them and killed Han.
Well, this supposedly takes place 2 years after the last Fast and Furious.
Okay, you still, yeah. I'm like, that's nice.
I know, but it's not the next day at least, so.
Yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, you know, 2 years pass, it's not a city. I mean, we watch wrestling, so we see water under the bridge all the time. Yeah. For our tag team wrestlers. Yeah,
when the Rock
so that part,
and Mankind teamed up, that was pretty much the epitome of "don't worry about it."
Yeah, like I've heard a lot of people like complain about that part, and I can't blame them too much because like Han was such an important part of that. Mm-hmm. He did kill him. Like, he did try to kill the wrestler, so yeah, he did save Vin Diesel's baby. But still, how he getting a plate at the table? But beyond that, the whole it's not fan like no like you can't have it both ways. Let them do the stuff they're doing. Let The Rock do the stuff he's doing. Let them both eat and have fun. And like I don't have an issue with that. I don't have the whole family thing that seems like I get the thing because it's like they seem like they actually like each other, and that's what makes the movies work. It's like a family thing. And that was one of the things that was kind of missing from part 8, because you could tell it was like, it's something off with this energy. Like, we talked about all the time, like that Rock Vin Diesel stuff, we didn't know was it fake, were they building up in the movie? And then watch the movie, like, they're barely in any scenes together. I think they have like one conversation when they're in the same room. They don't even talk when they're there at the end, at the table. Like the whole energy was just like off. And it seemed like it was just too, you don't want Fast and Furious to have Mission Impossible energy. Yes. That's basically like they work, like Mission Impossible works. Cause you think like those are the two franchises, like basically like the action franchise that's been out the longest. And it's just amazing how long they're out and how they're still doing it. But they work because they have different energies with them. I always call like Mission Impossible more like, you know, we dress it up a little bit more. That's the only difference. It's like they both kind of silly. It's like one is like, you know, if Fast and Furious is like that 18-year-old Mission Pops was like that 23-year-old. Like, I'm finally getting a job where I got to wear a tie. But I still got a job. So.
Yeah, at that last scene in, what was it, Fate of the Furious was the last one?
Right? Mm-hmm.
What's the next one going to be called? Because the next one's the last one, right?
No, they get on two more, 9 and 10.
Okay, so I'm guessing 10 will be the final, like the final Fast and the Furious, or...
We'll see.
Fast and the Furious finale, whatever.
I mean, but, it's easy to say, like, we're going to stop at 10, but it's like, you know, if you're still making money, it's hard to turn out money. Those movies, make, like, Fast and Furious and Jurassic Park are the two big money makers. So, you know, it's like, especially, I think it depends on how this spinoff does and how well it does. I mean, it's like, I figure it's going to do, like, one, it's a spinoff, so you don't know, but two, it's like, it's an action movie with The Rock and Jason Statham. They both make money at action movies, and it looks like it's, and it's coming out where it's not like a lot of competition anyway. Like, it's coming out like near the end of the summertime, so it's a good spot for it, and it's like lower expectations because it's a spinoff. So I'm looking forward to seeing the movie, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Well, then, but also news from this whole franchise is now that they may take the women and spin them off on their own movie, too.
Yeah, because Michelle Rodriguez has been complaining about that, rightfully saying, like, you know, not, you know, this will be a whole diverse thing. Y'all pushing us in the background. When are we going to get our chance? And, I mean, if it, like I say, if you make it, they'll come. If you make a good movie, it's definitely an audience there for it. And enough people like these movies where they have a movie universe, and they did it organically. They've been it's funny, they've been talking about doing this for the longest time, and people kind of poo-pooed it. But it's like, if they want to do it, they got the pieces there to do it. We've been making these movies for almost 20 years now. That's a long time.
Oh, yeah, it is.
And it's not like something that's forced, anything like that. Like, you know, it's, you have all these characters, you have all these people, and I know we were talking about, like, the people they're trying to get back, and, like, the funny one, like, you know, Gal Gadot. I mean, you got to open up the checkbook.
Yeah. You got to compete with DC. Well, I guess DC money probably ain't that much, actually, so never mind.
I mean, DC money is still Warner Brothers money.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And it's like, I'm sure she got a raise to do Wonder Woman 1984. I know she's doing that movie with The Rock, like, 2 years from now. Like, that art spy movie, something like that. So, like I say, actors and actresses work. You got the money. Throw them the money. If you want to take that route, if you want to do, like, money always talks.
Yeah. And, well, that's the way that they're making money on these, too. And that's why when Rock wanted to spin his thing off, and I guess it because it delayed Fast and Furious, that's why they were, supposedly everyone was upset. And it's like, well, now, Here's the reality of this now is Rock and Statham, if this is successful, they can go off and make their own little segment of this, because I'm pretty sure Vin Diesel is still an executive producer, because isn't that part of, like, his contract or something? Mm-hmm. He's an executive, so he's making money off of their stuff.
So he's going to get, like, Vin, here's the thing, I don't get, like, I can see why Tyrese is complaining, because, like, you know, you're messing with my money because I don't have a lot of stuff going on anymore. But I'm like, Vin Diesel ain't stressed. Like, he's not stressing for a dollar. Like, he's straight. And I was thinking about that. How many people you know have three movie universes? Like, three franchises?
Yeah.
Like, you've had, like, you know, Stallone had three. That's like, you have a few that had like two, or you have plenty that had two. You had a few that had three. It's hard to have three. Like, Schwarzenegger didn't have three. Keanu didn't have three. So it's like, basically, like, Stallone and Vin Diesel. Like, Stallone had Rocky, Rambo, and Expendables.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of Rock.
Rock doesn't do a lot of sequels. He does his one. Like, Jumanji 2 will be like the first sequel he's done, beside the Fast and Furious movies. Like, a lot of people normally do, like, one movie. Like, Tom Cruise has Mission Impossible, and that's it. He hasn't done, like, a lot of sequels to a lot of stuff.
Damn. And,
like, even Gerard Butler only got, like, you know, he's done those Olympus Has Fallen stuff and sequels. Most time they do, like, one and done, or they'll do most two. you know, like Liam Neeson had Taken. That's it. And that's all I'll say about Liam Neeson.
I was trying to figure out how to bring him up anyways. That is some goofy shit. For those listening, go look up Liam Neeson.
Yeah, you can do that research yourself.
I don't usually like laugh at when people put like their memes up or whatever, or like the pictures of like surprised acting, or you know, whenever someone says something. But going through like the link you sent me on Twitter and just seeing like people putting up reaction photos, I laughed at some because that was my reaction. I didn't even read like what he said. I just saw the headline and went, "Huh?" And there was a bunch of those. So,
But anyway,
weird time we live in that you would feel the need to even express that in an interview that's going to get out, like
about something it's not even related, like. I guess it's like the whole thing of revenge. Like, yeah, let me tell you about some real revenge. How I got into the movie.
Okay.
And I'm sure that, and I'm sure the guy at the end that's recording this is like, like, where do you go? Like, have a nice day. Yeah, it's like that's. But anyway, it's funny. Yeah. We won't talk about it. But like, if you listen to this, look it up. You understand what's going on. But anyway, back to Vin Diesel. Like, his money's straight. And he always wanted to seem like, you know, I don't want to share the spotlight. So he should be happy.
Yes. Yeah, unless that, he's that thinking, bank account's going to go up.
Yeah. And you don't the only thing I can think of where he might be a thing is like if he feels like they're taking the shine away from the main franchise.
That's a distinct possibility, but then as the
But it's kind of like the Star Wars side movies haven't taken away from the Star Wars movies. People say, oh, well, Star Wars doesn't seem as exciting anymore because you see them all the time. I'm like, those first two Star Wars movies made boatloads of money. And you can say the first one made a whole lot, made the money it made because of nostalgia. It was a big gap. That's fine. For all the talk of The Last Jedi, that still made like $1.5 billion. So, yeah. That's whatever. Like, if you make a good quality movie without a whole bunch of noise, people will see it 8 times out of 10. So they'll be okay.
Yeah.
They'll live.
Well, how are we on? Oh.
We got time for one more thing.
Okay. Did you probably don't have enough time for Punisher then? So
no, we got time.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was like, or we can do Raw Deal, one of the two.
No, I was waiting for you to finish on the Punisher.
Okay. All right. First, I'm going to say I enjoyed it.
But
some weird stuff, like just some weird.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. Like I had the same thought. Like it was very well done. I enjoyed it. But it was a lot of stuff that just seemed that just had me feeling a certain way. Like it just seemed real off, and on purpose too. Like, okay, I just jumped to it. That doctor, that psychiatrist, I wish I could take a picture of my face. I made, I don't know if it was like episode 11 or 12, when she basically set up Frank with like the women dying.
Yes.
Find out what's her plan. Because the whole time you're thinking like, you know, maybe it's Stockholm Syndrome, or, you know, maybe she just in too deep. That's one of the most evil things I've seen on a Marvel show in a long time.
Okay.
Like, real, like, just diabolically evil from someone that you wouldn't expect. If it was his plan, that'd be one thing. But the fact that it came from her, and she's like a healthcare provider, and she's there like that, and it's like, I was like, yuck. Like, this is just gross.
See, I didn't have that. All right. When she started making out with Billy in the beginning of the season, I was like, huh? And then the fact that, yeah, it wasn't Stockholm Syndrome. No, she had the hots for him. Oh, she's also a little bit crazy and evil on top of that. So, oh, all right. But if you go back, outside of, what's his friend with one leg? The black guy.
Curtis.
Okay, it is Curtis. Well, I was getting him and Curtis from Arrow confused. And the girls, whatever. Everybody on that show is pretty much issues. Evil, broken. Yes, something.
And the ones who weren't got punished for not being evil.
Yes. And that was a weird. I picked up on that, and I'm going because the girl, you know, that Frank sleeps with in the beginning, she gets shot, and you never find out what happens to her. And then even what was his name? Was it Pilgrim?
Mm-hmm. Do you recognize where he's from?
No, it was driving me crazy.
Dark Knight Rises.
Who was he?
The dude in the beginning that, you know, that says he captured Bane, and then the sniper dude, the guy's always like his sidekick in the background.
Oh.
And he was in that movie, like The Collector and The Collection, like that horror movie where he's like locked up in a house. That's him. I didn't even recognize him without his beard and mustache. Cause I'm like, I saw him, I'm like, that face looks real familiar. But I could not picture, like, I was watching it, I was like, I've seen him before, but I couldn't picture out where he was. And then I was like, oh yeah, that's dude from Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, there's also, like, his character was just kind of weird. Mm-hmm. And so
was, a reformed white supremacist that's now part of, like, this whole church group thing. Yeah.
That's out there just doing it for his kids and wife. Like, huh? But, no, I really liked him. Like, his
performance. I'm surprised he didn't die.
That's exactly what I was going to say. And this is where, like, so everyone makes fun of, like, Batman and Superman, where he goes, Martha, and he goes, what'd you say? Every time Frank finds out that someone has a kid, he lets them go. Except for the Russian guy. He still took him out. But everybody else, he's like, well, I got a family. All right, you're free to go. Like, wait a
minute. I mean, because this whole thing is like, you know, his family was a big... It's funny, like, this whole story of family, like, being such a big deal, because that's why him and the girl was basically along. It's like, you know, I got to protect you because I can protect my family, even though this girl is a stranger. Mm-hmm. And he didn't know her. Like, he's risked his life. Speaking of family, that episode with Karen Page, good Lord. When I'm just watching this, I'm like... Why are they writing these women to just be so damn either evil or just, like, uncaring? Like, I killed three women. I don't care, Frank. I still love you.
Like, huh?
You know, I'm going to get you out of this. Yeah. Oh, what about your boyfriend, Matt Murdock? Y'all still together? Don't worry about him. I'm with you now. Why don't you stop loving your dead family? You can love me. Basically, what you see, I'm watching this. I'm like... What? I know they got a thing because I watched season 2 of Daredevil and I watched season 1 of Punisher, and they kind of established like they got a thing. I would have thought this would have kind of like faded by now because like season 3 of Daredevil, she and Matt seem to be kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Are they dates on? So the fact she ready to be like, oh, I don't care what you did, I still love you. If you stop crushing over your dead family that's not coming back, we can do something together. Like, let. And I know, like, Karen's got some issues or so. That whole episode has had me rolling my eyes. Like, really?
And that's where it got to, like, the weird decisions and just weirdness of the season. Like, that is... Sometimes... All right, I really like Daredevil Season 2. I like 3 better, but I like 2 because it had six episodes that were, like, 2 different storylines. And then the last one kind of brought Punisher back in. I really liked that, and I think this could have used that because at one point they were all over the place.
They had 2 separate stories that never really interacted until they didn't interact. Like, it was like Russo was doing his stuff and Pilgrim was doing his stuff, and it was like you had some episodes with both of them in, or some episodes with one. And it's funny where you watch the first 2-3 episodes and see all this action, think, oh, okay, this is gonna be badass Punisher stuff, because those action scenes were awesome.
Yeah,
like the first time when they had the bar fight and that whole thing, what was it, an ice pick or a pin or whatever he killed that dude with when he slammed, or a knife.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he took his head and slammed it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. You see that and you see that, okay, so that type of violence. And then when they have the shootout at the police station, like, you seen that. And then Madani calls back to New York, and they just talking for, like, 4 episodes. Oh, Billy trying to figure out what he is. And it's – I do like that whole thing. Everybody was just pissed at him trying to get revenge, and he don't remember any of it. So it's like they got to deal with all that guilt, and he like, why are my friends mad at me? They said I shot you. I don't remember. Like, imagine how pissed off you'd be. Like, I'm trying to get revenge, and you don't remember why I'm mad at you. Like, I'm still mad. You just walk around like, you know, what's going on? And then the first time you see Frank, that's his friend, and Frank shooting at him. It's like, why is my best friend shooting at me? Like, I get the psychological part of what they were trying to do. It's just a whole bunch of talking. Like, yeah, it just felt real disjointed. So, like, you know, talking about feelings, talking about remorse, and what makes me tick and everything. And it's like, okay, I get it. Let's get to the shooting.
Yeah, and that was another thing in this season. The level of violence and how much the human body could handle.
He's a mutant.
Really getting off. Everybody was.
But especially him. I know people talking about, well, there's no mutants in the Marvel Universe. Yes, it is. It's the Punisher.
He's right there.
He should have been dead. I know, like, oh, they're using rubber bullets. He's still getting shot and stabbed like 6 times and getting hit in the face with a bat and clubs like that. And he unconscious for like 2 minutes, and then he just brushes it off and like it's no big deal.
Yeah.
Oh, Frank, your hand's been bad for like 3 episodes. Better do something. His hand, I'm like, he getting hit in the face with a shovel. And it's like he just brushed it off like it's no thing. And you want to know what privilege looks like and why the Punisher can only be white? When the cops come, when they arrest him, when they figure like he murdered 3, they know who the Punisher is. They are established he's a serial killer. They see him, and it's like 3 dead women in a room and just him with a gun. And they like, put your gun down, come quietly, we don't want to shoot you. Word?
Yeah. I was watching that going, oh, this is going to get ugly. I figured that's where it was going to cut off, and he'd have to fight his way out. Nah. I'm going, wait a second. They're not just coming in guns blazing?
Yeah, like, oh, let's take you in, Frank. Like, what? Like, it's not just the fact. Like, it's the Punisher. You know he's killed. Oh, well, you know he don't kill cops. You know he don't kill cops. Like, at this point, you figure, like, you see him with a room full of women, you figure he finally snapped.
Yes.
So, and then, yeah, it's like, it was a lot of good parts. It was a lot of weird parts. When they had the fight, she threw the doctor out the window.
Yes! Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. Yeah. I'm like, she just killed her? Like, okay. And then, nah, she's pretty banged up. I'm going, what are you talking about? She's pretty banged up.
I know it's only 2 stories, but she fell, like, face first.
And that happened to her in the past? Hey, if you break your arm in the past, it doesn't make breaking your arm in the future any better. You know, it still sucks.
Surgically repaired, like Shawn Michaels back. But no, you see that, and you see Billy go in there, and then he runs in there, then she shoots him 4 times, and then you think she's dead because he chokes her.
Yes.
Then she wakes up. I'm thinking they both dead, and they both alive. And then Billy's the one that's dying.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then you see, and you figure, like, how that's going to end. Or, you know, they're going to talk it out. Nope, Frank just shows up there, listen to them talk for like 30 seconds, then pop.
That shocked me. Because Billy never did find out that he killed his family.
Nope.
He never finds out why Frank was so pissed off at him. And that to me was pretty cool, because there's no, like, you know, no reconciliation, no possibility, because Frank didn't give him that choice. And, you know, this season seemed to be more about him just coming to grips with who he really is.
Mm-hmm.
And he even says it at times, like, his ex-wife knew who I was, and she just looked the other way. Or she knew and didn't care, whatever. And I know there's supposed to be like a romantic side to that, but I'm looking at your wife with a side eye like,
I mean, you gotta know who your spouse, you gotta know who your spouse is.
Yeah, but not a
kid. And think about all the Marvel shows we've seen with both heroes and villains. That's been like a recurrent point where it's like, you either accept it or you get destroyed by it. Because look at Kingpin and Vanessa.
Okay, that's where I was gonna bring that up too.
And like Matt, and like, you know, the whole thing of Matt and Karen is like, you know, why does Karen keep doing all this for this loser that doesn't seem to like her that much? And then you realize Karen's is more messed up than he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even before, like, you take account of, and then it's like, you can see why she got a thing for Frank, because, like, you know, she accepts him for what he is. And then they make a big deal saying, like, you know, he's got a cold. That's why, you know, it gives him clarity of focus. So, I mean, is he really that, like, they trying to justify, is he really that bad a guy? I'm wasting my time doing the right thing. He's handling the right thing. Even Madonna's like, y'all know I'm messed up, but, like, he gets stuff done.
okay, so it's like, yeah, he's got a code, and he does this, blah, blah, he looked the other way. And then at the end of this, and I love the, it was all fan service, the end. But when, you know, Madonna calls him from wherever she's at,
and says, CIA. Yeah, like, yeah, only get stuff done without paperwork,
yeah.
So let me join the CIA, how about that?
Yeah, so she calls him, he's like, I already got a job. I'm like, okay. And I honestly thought he was waiting to pick the girl up, like, she came back or something. And he goes in, and you see these, like, teenage kids, like, jack-jawing each other. They all pull guns, and I'm going, look at these stooges. And all of a sudden, Frank comes in, the trench coat, pulls it open, pulls out the two M16s with the Punisher label logo blazing, and murders all of them. And I went, wait a minute, that's a dick move. Like,
and that's how it ends.
Yeah, and that's literally how it ends. Because I'm guessing that's canceled now, too. So I was like, wait a second. These are like street-level kids. I mean, maybe they're not kids, but to me they are.
Crime's crime, punk.
Yeah, it's true.
No, so. And like, what did they say? I never pulled out my gun on anybody who didn't deserve it.
Yeah. We've said this before. The Punisher's not a good guy.
Yeah, he's just a guy that does stuff. And the violence is...
a villain originally.
No, I can imagine that. The violence is insane. We talking about the violence in Daredevil. No, the violence on Punisher is a whole different level. Yes. He's beating with the kettlebells and the barbell plates. Mm-hmm. Like the fight in the weight room was just vicious. Like when people bleed, they bleed. Like that tortured the scenes. Like, ugh.
The worst one of all of it was when Jimmy got shot in the leg with the buckshot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's picking it out, and they just zoom in on how he's got just a shredded thigh. And I'm going, this is gross. I mean, I know it's fake, but they took it to a whole different place with that. Like, this is terrible. And, you know, he picked his shirt up before, like, earlier, and he had, like, the skin hanging from getting cut in that bar fight. And they don't shy away from that. I mean, they show... And I understand.
They show Frank getting sold up when he got shot in the behind.
It's like, yeah. I know this is going to be dumb to say because, you know, all these guys survived this stuff, but they don't shy away from, like, the consequences of violence or consequences of guns and that. Now, yeah, he got shot and he's back running around with no problem later. But
still, like, you know, he got shot. You can see the pain. You got to see it. Mm-hmm. In a way that the movies don't. Because I always laugh now, and most, like, when I watch these, we can wrap it up soon. Like, the movie's kind of like, that blood, I know it's like, you know, you take the blood out, it's fine. Like, no. Yeah. No, it does not. It makes it worse. Because you feel like it's no stakes. Like, it's like a video game. And that's the one thing I don't like about, and it's not just Marvel, it's almost all the big movies.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And I didn't really notice about that. I was watching the Hitman's Bodyguard on because it came on like Cinemax. I remember seeing the movie and I was like, I like the movie. I didn't remember how violent it was. So I watched it on TV. That's a violent ass movie to be like an action comedy. Like, that's a hard ass R. And like, you see people get shot, they getting shot. Mm-hmm. Like, you see the blood pop out. Like, one of the things Samuel Jackson is, he gets shot in the leg. He's limping around. He passes out from it. Like, that's a thing. Like, yeah, getting shot hurts. Bleeding is a thing. And you see these movies, like, you know, you watch Civil War and Falcon blows up six people. And it'll register. It's like, oh, yeah, now it's just three left. It used to be six or something like that. Like, he just make a quick line. It's like, yeah, he shot them with a bunch of missiles. And it's funny where when you watch the first, like, that's what happens when you watch movies for like more than once and you know, like, little things, like, stuff doesn't register necessarily the first time, but when you watch it again, it's like, oh yeah, like, that's a thing. Like, I was watching Sin City and I've watched like 11 times, and each time I've noticed something different or something small. Like, it took me up until last year to realize Benicio Del Toro was racist in that movie.
It's been so long since I've seen that.
That's
right, yeah, he is,
because they're arguing about him letting it in. She's talking about she's in here with the whole basketball team, like an African love fest. He's like, I know you pushed my girl, like, some of my best friends are, and then he gets going on, and I'm like, wait a second.
Yes.
Like, She said that for a reason, and he responded for a reason. And I had never caught that till like one time I watched it. You know, like beginning of the movie where Josh Hartnett kills the girl because she hired, like, it took me like six times to watch it to realize she hired him to do it. Like, she hired him to, you know, to kill himself. I guess you're getting chased by somebody. But it's like, you know, stomach, how green her eyes are. And she lights a cigarette, her eyes turn green. And then they're never green again. Like, little things like that. Yeah, like, exactly. Like, little things you don't even notice. That's why I watch movies more than once, because I try to, like, notice stuff. Like, we can. The one that stands out to me the most is when I saw Spider-Man Homecoming. And Michael Keaton's in the, right before they're about to go to prom, and he's threatening Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he had a gun out. Like, yes. He pulled the gun out, like, the glove compartment.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that the first time I watched the movie. Because I was so focused on his words, like what he was saying. And he did it all slick, too. Like, does she know? He just reach over there, and he just pull out, like, a nine, like, real slick. Like, is he about to shoot, like, he's about to shoot, yes, Spider-Man. And I'm like, and we talked about, we did the review, like, we haven't had Marvel villains about, you mess with my family, I'm just going to kill you.
Yeah. And, well, and then he has his code, whatever. But, real quick, this is not a topic to go long, but they're going to be, DC released a bunch of different dates. We'll get into, like, we'll get into that next show about, like, future movies. And one of them is Batman Beyond.
Yeah,
I've heard. And it's supposed to be animated, all right?
Get that Spider-Man and his Spider-Verse money.
Well, there's that. Well, they're doing Super Pets, which I didn't know I wanted to see until they announced that. I'm like, that sounds like goofy fun. Anyways, like I said, next show. But if they do Batman Beyond, I know they already have voices, you know, worked out. But if they use old Bruce Wayne, wouldn't it be kind of fun to use Michael Keaton as the voice?
Yeah, someone brought that up.
Yeah, that'd be great. But I know, you know, because the guy that does Batman, he does it for all the stuff. I mean, he only be doing it for so long.
Yeah, I mean, they still got the same voice for Optimus Prime doing it in the movies.
True, yeah.
You know what would be really funny? If they had Ben Affleck do the voice.
Which I wish we had time to get into. God damn it, I knew there was something else, but we'll do it next week.
We can say that next week. I just said that because I just thought about that, too. It's like, but yeah, they got a lot of stuff on the, and it's funny where it's like, you know, oh, Spider-Man made this money. Let's make, like, stick to just making good movies.
Yeah, quit trying to chase everybody else.
Yeah, like, because Spider-Man worked because it was an awesome-ass movie.
Yeah.
And it was animated because it had to. There's no way in the world that could have been a live-action movie. Like, focus on what you were doing. Like, you know, you had Wonder Woman, you had Aquaman, you may have some with Shazam. Just focus on one at a time. Just, you know, because you can always do a universe thing if you want. You know, you should have did it right the first time, but you didn't. You can always try it again. Just focus on making good movies one at a time. Get your cred up to the point where it's like DC, you hear DC movie is not skepticism. Like, okay, they make good movies. Like, do like two or three in a row and then go from there.
Yeah. And speaking of go from there, we got to go. We had a late start on this one. So, yeah, gang, thanks for listening. We Watch Stuff is on your podcast platform. Stunt Granny as well. We'll get everything from that. And, yeah, I'm stumbling through this. So, yeah, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi. And be careful about admitting certain stuff in the interview. It will not go well. We are out.